The Bible teaches that Christians are granted God's grace upon our salvation. Christ sets us free from the legalistic expectations set by others. At the same time, the Bible teaches that Christians are to practice discipline and restraint. So, how do we balance these two forces? Today, on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll is teaching from Titus chapter 2. In this passage written by Paul to Titus, we gain godly wisdom on what it means to let grace push out our longing for old sinful habits. Chuck titled today's message, Tough Grace, and we begin with prayer.
Thank you, Father, in this week for a quiet interlude to worship you and to meet with you in this corporate hour of worship. Thank you, we're not in this room alone. Thank you for the things that have been mentioned, for the way your word is going forth, and 1,001 other things we could name, all of which reveal to each of us that it's well with our souls. In a world that's lost its way, that only reads of peace on stone monuments, and only hears about it and thinks of it as a distant dream, we know a peace that passes understanding. Thank you for touching us where no surgeon's scalpel can ever reach, deep within our souls. Thank you that today, this very day, you're touching hearts of soldiers and airmen and women, and Marines, and Coast Guard, uniformed, courageous people who keep the peace. So help these who do the hard thing. Help those in the Pentagon who make tough decisions in rooms without windows, while no one is looking or even awake. They're guarding the stuff. For those on the Hill who represent their states, who claim the name of Christ, thank you for the ministry of Christian Embassy, for its service there, and others who reach to those on the Hill and at the Pentagon. Thank you today for our city, for our church. This grace that we will be understanding even better today, we ask that it might shape the way we live, might make a difference in decisions we make, choices we select. Help those engaged in your work in various phases of it, those who faithfully serve you, in hard places. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Use them. Our gifts given today go to assist ministry in so many places. May the use of these funds be carefully watched, and may these monies serve the cause of Christ well. This is our worship, our Father, and this is one way we express it in a tangible way. Because deep within us, things are well. We praise your name. We worship your name. We exalt your Son. We lean on your Spirit as you minister deeply today, even now. In the name of Christ, our Savior, everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. Did you know about the spiral-bound workbooks for our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies? To dig deeper into the New Testament letter of Titus, you can purchase a printed Bible study workbook today by going to insight.org/workbooks. And now, the message from Chuck called Tough Grace.
Grace and salvation. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That word grace is, again, that marvelous truth of God's giving us what we don't deserve, can never repay, cannot earn. It isn't my searching out and pleading for and finally finding God. It's God reaching down in time and sending his Son for me. Salvation is, in a few words, God's rescuing humanity from our sinful condition. Now, when you get to verse 12, we move to another phase, the beginning phases of the Christian life at this present time. We've moved through the cross, and we're now coming to sanctification. Definition for sanctification would be being set apart for God's purpose and God's glory. Please observe the change in wording. Grace appears in verse 11, but grace instructs in verse 12. See the same grace mentioned in 11? Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. That's the negative. Instructing us to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's the positive. Grace and sanctification says now you're to be set apart to live a life that's different from what you've ever lived before. Now, glorification looks to the future, where we will be in heaven with the Lord, changed, glorified. But we're looking now. Look at the verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And he says, we look for that blessed hope as we live our lives under the grace of God. How could he make us ready for that kind of future? Redemption. Verse 14. This is probably the best part of all. By his grace, he gave himself. Please notice, we didn't earn him. We didn't seek him out. He gave himself for us. To redeem us. Every time you see the word redemption, think of paying a ransom. When someone pays a ransom to free another from bondage, the process is called redemption. In first century days, as well as even 18th, 19th century days, there was slavery. Slaves were purchased on a slave block. They were tools, human tools. Masters would come with money and they would buy them and use them till they dropped. And then their families, unless they sold them to another slave owner. But when Christ came, finding us on our slave block of sin, he paid the ransom for us, set us free from the bondage, and then released us never to return again to slavery. How good is that? That's redemption. He bought us, redeemed us from every lawless deed, all of those things back there in our past. He freed us because he paid the complete price for our sins. Never forget that. The cross is all about payment in full for sins. So having been redeemed, what does he want us to do? Live as we please? Of course not. We are now to live as he pleases, and we're able to because of grace. Tough grace says, as it instructs us, say no to this, say yes to that. And as it lives its way out, he has for himself a cleansed people for his own possession who are now zealous for good deeds. That would never have been true on the left side of the cross, but now that we've come through Christ, it's now possible because we have his Spirit living within us. I like the way Kent Hughes writes on this. We must be very clear about all the requirements of grace. If anyone says that what we do earns God's love, that's legalistic trash. If anyone devises standards for us to follow that cannot be proven from Scripture, that's the rubbish of Pharisaism. But if anyone says that it does not matter to God or his people what we do, that is selfish, unbiblical, and damaging to the gospel of our Lord. This is tough grace. All about us are those who are enslaved to the evil of this world. If we pursue our liberties primarily for our own sake, then we may profess a maturity that gives us rights, but it will not support the proclamation of God's grace toward those lost in the miseries of sin. The goal of the godly is to adorn the gospel with credibility and evidence of its power in their lives. Isn't that good? We adorn the gospel as we live out these good deeds. I found it interesting in my study that the Puritans refer to this changed life as the power of new affections. New affections. Interestingly, they built that thought around a species of the live oak tree that does something very interesting with its leaves. It clings to them even after they die. I've been shaking this all yesterday and all today, and the leaves won't come off. This came out of a tree in our front yard. The leaves are dead, just dead as they can be. The twig is brittle. There's nothing green in there, just dead, no sap. The sap is holding this branch. It's not in the branch. And just making sure you're awake there. And then, but these leaves won't come off. They just won't come off. The ice won't break them off. Snow won't break them off. The gale force winds won't blow them off. Well, how come they come off? Well, that's a great question. It's when new life surges up through this branch that they fall off. They're forced off. Is that good? Oh, I love this kind of thing. And it doesn't take a lot to make me excited. Okay, so up comes this new life, and when that new life comes up, that ultimately that leaf will just drop off. Because there's a, what is it? There is a new affection that comes and removes the old. That's part of the Christian life as grace overwhelms us with respect for God. And overwhelmed by his love and grace, we don't want to do them. We want to do good deeds. And we begin to do them and the old drops off. And the new begins to emerge with life, color, beauty. What's the big deal in all of this? Let me give you the big deal. When you truly embrace grace, you don't casually abuse it. When you truly embrace grace, you don't casually abuse it. As a matter of fact, you live your life so grateful and so thrilled with the new life that's come, the new urges and the new surges of life, that a lot of the old stuff that enraptured us at one time doesn't interest us nearly as much. Donald Barnhouse, an expositor of yesteryear, get rid of my old leaves here, put it in a wonderful way. He said, when I was a little boy, I played marbles. And all the boys here will remember it. You put a big circle down there, and everybody has a little pile of their own marbles, okay? And we would get out, and we'd thump those marbles across the... And if you knocked a marble out of the circle, and you're playing for keeps, you got to keep that marble. And if Mama wasn't watching, you bet a penny a marble. So, mind, Yomi. So, you got a pocket full of pennies, and you got marbles, and boy, this is exciting when you're a little kid. And he said, you know, it's a funny thing. As I grew up and I walked by kids later on who were playing marbles, I never thought, I gave that up for God. I've been delivered of marbles. You kids ought to be ashamed of yourself for playing marbles. He said, you know what? I realize I just outgrew it. Leaves just began to fall off as I began to mature and grow. And well, get that new life. No wonder he says in verse 15, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let me tell you, there are very few places today where this kind of truth is being taught. And I'm sorry to say that. I'm sorry to say that. People are told in churches all around the world, here's the list, here's what you live by. This is what I consider godly, and you go with it. And the only reason they do is out of fear that the leader is going to find out they're not going with it. That's legalism. But when grace comes and we speak it and exhort others and reprove them with authority, we say, don't disregard this. This is truth to live by. And you know what happens? Growth occurs, a maturity develops, and the sheer love you have for your Savior pushes out the stuff that has no business being there and makes room for the growth that could never have been there without Christ. I remember years ago when I first earned my driver's license. From 14 to 16, I had to drive with an adult in the front seat. You remember those days. In this case, it was my dad, never my mother, because she would have wanted to jump or scream she had taught me, so she never taught me to drive. Furthermore, she broke most of the rules herself. So my dad is there, and my dad's very patient, very loving man, and very calm, and I'd go over a curb. He says, now, next time, son, you might want to go a little further around. And so I learned to drive from my dad. And during those 2 years, my respect for him just grew more and more. And one day I came home and I said, I got it. My license. You know what he did? Good for you, son. There's the keys. You're on your own. Oh, man. You know what through my mind? I thought, I'm going to turn that 47 four-door Chevy sedan into a Ferrari. Give me those keys. So he didn't follow me out the car saying, and I want to tell you, son, there's people out there watching. You could be in a tough place. There are lots of cops. Furthermore, I got insurance on this, and the insurance on you is expensive, and don't you dare do. He didn't do that. He just said, have fun. So I said, thanks, Dad. I mean, nobody was with me. So I walked out the carport. I got in Chevy and I backed. Knowing he was watching, I backed out very slowly. Turned down Woodridge and then on up the Gulf Freeway. And I thought, if I average 85 miles an hour, I can be to Galveston and back in plenty of time. I thought that. But you know the truth of this? Let me tell you the truth, honest to goodness. I never went over the speed limit. I never did. He wasn't even there. Why didn't I? Why didn't I go pick up Eugene Kurtz and Freddie Myers and all the stuff we'd gotten into as kids and say, come on, you guys, let's blow it. But I didn't do that. You know why? My respect for my father. My love for my dad. It made a difference. It just pushed out the old leaves and made room for new ones. Now, I know you hear the story and you think, well, you still do that? Well, my dad's dead now. So I'm a little more like my mother. For example, didn't think I was going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. I got a nice letter this week from the Plano Police Department. I thought, how great. They want me to speak at the police banquet, I bet. How nice. Personally addressed. Nice envelope. I opened it up and I said, man, they really care. They got a picture of my pickup in here. Guys, you're good. You know, I read it and I read it again and I realized that department's run by a bunch of legalists. They are. I mean, there were harsh words, and there was a deadline. And I looked at the pictures, and I saw, I approached, and I turned, and zoom! It's kind of a blur, that last one, as I ran that light. And of course, who should find the envelope but Mother Superior Cynthia? Oh, huh. I thought, you know, my mother would just say, I'm proud of you, son. But my dad, my mother used to burn rubber out of the driveway. Taking off, you know. Why don't they move? Don't they? Lights are too long. So in honor of my father, I sent $75 to the Plano Police Department. And I remember that I am not there yet. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now, nor could be, soon will be our own. Not now, then. And if you don't know Christ, your then is nothing like that. It's nothing like that. You can't imagine how horrible it would be. So let's take care of that. I'd like you to bow your heads. The grace of God has appeared. The epiphany has happened. The ladder has been dropped. How great is that? There's no age requirement. There's no gender. There's no church required. There's just nothing in your hands you bring. Simply to the cross you cling. You acknowledge that Jesus paid the complete penalty for your sins, and now you can be rescued. You can be rescued. Now your sinful drive won't go away, I need to tell you, but you'll now at last have an ability to deal with it. You'll have power you didn't have otherwise. What a difference that makes. We exist to help you, and that's why we're on the map. That's why we do what we do. Nothing thrills us like helping people come to an understanding of Christ and then growing up in Him. If some of this doesn't make sense or you need help doing it, just coming to Christ, maybe we could meet you in the prayer room up here. Just slide right on in and you'll be there with friends. They know how to talk to you and they know how to listen. They care. But let's say you don't want to do that. Let's say you just need to take care of it right now. Just a simple prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Christ died for me. And He rose from the dead for me. I trust Him now. I need Him. I take Him. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy, and forgiveness. And you're in the family. And you can almost feel it. The Father tosses you the keys. Says, okay, let's go together. Thank you, dear Father, for the beautiful way you teach us. Thank you for your patience when we fail. Thank you for your understanding in the midst of all our own confusion. Thank you for reaching down when we would never have reached up. Thank you for reaching us when we were running in the other direction, for setting the hounds of heaven after us. Thank you for your grace. For by grace we have been saved through faith. Not of ourselves. It is the gift that comes from you. Not works from us, lest any of us boast. We rejoice in it, we revel in it, and we bow in awesome gratitude for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for being tough with us at times when we needed it, for disciplining us so that we would walk worthy of the calling, and for promising us a home free of guilt and shame and sin and sorrow and death. We look forward to it with you. With our Savior, whom having not seen, we love, in whom though now we see Him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. In His great name, we pray. Everyone said. Amen.
For many people listening today, Chuck Swindoll's Bible study teaching brings a whole new perspective on God's grace. Yes, grace frees us from the penalty of our sin, but tough grace, as the Bible describes, frees us from the bondage that sin often causes. You're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. He's presenting an 11-part study in Titus, and the series is called Tough Grace in Difficult Places. You know, sometimes your learning starts here with Insight for Living, but it doesn't need to end here. In that spirit, we invite you to dig deeper into this topic on your own. To help you, Insight for Living has prepared a Searching the Scriptures Bible Study Workbook for this study on Titus. This spiral-bound resource is called Tough Grace in Difficult Places, and it's thoughtfully designed to lay flat on your table so you can jot down personal notes and observations. This Bible study workbook is perfect for church leaders, elders, and other volunteers, and it's a great choice for your private devotions as well. To purchase a copy right now, go to insight.org/workbooks or call us at 800-772-8888. There's another resource that belongs in your collection of Bible study tools, and that is Chuck's Living Insights Commentary on Titus. It includes his commentary on 1 and 2 Timothy as well. It's a hardbound book that's more than 300 pages long, and it's filled with charts, maps, historical background, and even ways to apply what you're learning in practical ways. That's Swindoll's Living Insights Commentary for Titus, along with 1 and 2 Timothy. You can find all the details at insight.org/offer or call us at 800-772-8888. Insight for Living Ministries is made possible not by the purchase of resources, but through voluntary donations from friends just like you. To send a contribution today, write to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us when Chuck Swindoll describes how to live before a watching world, Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Tough Grace, was copyrighted in 2006, 2007, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.